There you are.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? Good. Okay. My name is Will, and I am a codependent. And I want to thank you, Lisa, for asking me to share, and Yumi for reaching out. You know, I haven't seen her in many years. In fact, I didn't know she had moved to Texas. But her and I used to go to meetings together religiously on a Wednesday night. And that's where I met her. But anyway, getting to my story, you know, I got to read, I'm going to read some literature. And I need to, before I share every meeting that I'm asked to share, always read this paragraph, okay? And it says, our humility and open-minded makes us teachable. We allow others to share what has worked for them. This takes humility, for we must let go of our fears about how we appear to others. So I pray and hope that the group allows me to share my experience, strength, and hope, what works for me. It might not work for you, and that's cool. Nobody's right or wrong, because, you know, that's why I'm a codependent, and I got control issues, and I want to tell you what you're doing wrong and how you should do it. My way is the better way. That's what I learned in Codependence Anonymous. I didn't learn that. I didn't even know I had them behaviors, to be honest with you. So just allow me to share what works for me. And sometimes I need to share my experience, strength, and hope, because a lot of people need to know. I know my sponsees and my grand sponsees and some of my great sponsees that's on this Zoom meeting. You know, when I first start sponsoring them in Codependence Anonymous, that's the first thing they ask. One of the first things they ask me is, you know, how did they get led here? So how did I get led here? So I'm going to tell you how I got led here. You know, I've been in Codependence Anonymous for like NACA for 26 years, but I started my recovery in AA and NA 32 years ago. And I do Al-Anon right now, and I'm not trying to break the traditions of CODA, but I just want to share my experience, strength, and hope, because if it wasn't for these and therapy for 4 years, and it went for the first three that I named, AA, NA, and therapy, I would have never got introduced to Codependence Anonymous, to be honest with you. And thank God for my therapist. His name is Seamus. He's retired now. Man, I was with him 4 or 5 years, and we did a lot of inside work, you know, that I was working the steps in the other program. And what he led me to is ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. And I didn't know what the hell was ACA until I started attending. And so thank God. And I want to thank God, you know, give him all the honor and glory and praise that he kept me open-minded and teachable, you know, to the different outlets, you know, because in my other literature, it says our disease go much deeper than the drugs we use. So, you know, drugs was just the tip of the iceberg. I had deeply rooted issues that we just read in a preamble. And what I found out about Codependence Anonymous was, when you look, my sponsors and therapists, I had a lot of sponsors in this program, and I didn't fire them. I didn't get rid of them, because that's a control characteristic, okay? Thank God for Codependence Anonymous. I didn't get in that group of people who fire sponsees or let them go. You know, no, that's, you know, I had a sponsee call me, a member call me one day and say, you know, I want to get rid of my sponsor, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know. We don't fit together. And I said, well, are you working the steps with him? He said, yeah. I said, what does all he have to give you? You know, if you have a sponsor that's working the steps with you, that's more than enough. That's what it's called, a 12-step program. You know, and, you know, as you grow with a sponsor and learn to have a relationship with a sponsor, of course we go deeper with you. But it's all about the 12 steps and the traditions and the concepts. So I'll make a long story short. Again, thank God for Seamus. You know, he led me to ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. I didn't know anything about that. I thought that was normal, growing up with an alcoholic father that beat me down and, you know, abused me physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, I thought that was normal shit. You know, in fact, I started doing that to my kids because it was old behavior. That's what I was taught. I'm not proud to say that, but I am proud to say, being in recovery for so many years, my disease affected my kids. What I've learned today or way back, now my recovery affects my kids. You know, I don't give my kids my problems. I already got my own damn problems. I don't save my kids. You know, I was taught in Codependence Anonymous that, you know, I want to help my kids and teach them to be responsible and bail them out all the time. And I taught them that I'm teaching them to be irresponsible. They counted on me. And then when I did some steps with my sponsor about people pleasing, man, I had a rude awakening, not a spiritual awakening. You know, what I learned about me, okay, being a people pleaser, there was an underlying issue there. I wanted people to count on me. I wanted to be important. That's all that people pleasing is. It's a control factor. I want people to think how important I am. Oh, just get Will to do it. Oh, call Dad, he'll do it. But I'm taking their responsibilities away. In fact, I'm teaching them to stay sicker. That's why I love our preamble in Codependence Anonymous. It says we seek healthy relationships. But first, I have to have a healthy relationship with myself. The other programs taught me some of that, but that was just the tip of the iceberg. Because see what I found out for me, when you look at a tree, the core of the tree is codependency. My addictions are the roots. Because see, in my other program, it teaches me that my disease manifests in all areas of my life. And that's the roots, you know, of shopping, money, property, prestige. I didn't know codependency was an addiction until my sponsor taught me that. You know, it's the same thing. All addictions are the same. You know, I obsess over people. I'm compulsive. I want to fix them. I want to save them. You know how I learned now? You know, I got a sponsor, you know, now, and he asked me a question. Yes, great sponsor. He asked me a question yesterday. You know, he know I like to simplify things, right? And he said, well, how do I find, you know, he's just journeying in this area. And he said, well, how do I find out how it was caused? I said, you know what? Don't go that deep right now. Just keep it simple. So I'm going to give you an example. You know, after being in codependency and all these other programs, what I found out, my mother's Japanese. My dad is black, was the past tense, they passed away. But I lived in a neighborhood of either white, black. My dad was from Texas. My mom was from Japan. And we moved to Oakland, California. And I was, you know, curly-haired kid. Small, one, you know, that kid you beat up all the time. That kid you always, I was a kid you pick last for years, you know, and I was looking for validation. I never got it from my dad, but what I learned, it wasn't the outside validation. What I was seeking was emotional validation. See, my parents gave me everything I wanted. I was a spoiled brat after a while. But let me get back to the kid thing. So how did I discover I was a people pleaser? Because one day I brought some Japanese food outside. It's called, everybody knows sushi. So it was way back in the 60s, y'all. I brought sushi out and the kids loved it. I became their best friend. They picked me first, you know, they praised me, they validated me. Everybody wanted to hang out with Will. So I didn't know unconsciously, not consciously, that I was buying friendships. Because if they got mad at me, guess what? I'd bring some Japanese food out. But then, working the steps, I found out, man, that's deeply rooted control. People pleasing, caretaking, looking for validation, looking for anything outside of myself to make me feel whole. So I wanted to give an example of people pleasing for me, you know, and when I came into ACA therapy, and then I came into Codependence Anonymous way back in 93, 94. Thank God for a sponsor I had. She passed away. I've had a lot of sponsees pass away. I didn't get rid of them. The good Lord took them. Because they gave me something, you know. And what I found out, and I'm emotional now because I have beautiful kids and grandkids now. You know what I found out in recovery and Codependence Anonymous? It's not about me. It ain't about me. It was about me to do all this work, okay? Work on myself, stay honest, stay open, stay willing, stay teachable, stay humble, you know, because when I'm inspired, I'm in spirit. So I want you guys to hear that again. When I'm inspired, I'm in spirit. So what does that, I tell my sponsees, and then, I've been in recovery for many years. So I always use me. I always tell them my issues. You know, I want them to feel safe. It's just not all about them, you know, and their problems and their issues. So I share mine right along with them, you know, and what I taught them, what I was, and this is cuckoo for cocoa puff shit, okay? What I mean by that, these enlightenments come to me, okay? And I share them with people, my sponsees, not with people, just my sponsees, and they share them with their sponsees, and they share them with their sponsees. But when I'm inspired, I'm in spirit. So I was telling my friend Nick, I said, you know what, dude? When I'm thinking about you, I better call you right now. So I'm inspired. I'm in spirit. I say, because in an hour from now, I tell Nathan, you screwed. You just screwed, because that inspiration goes away. So when I was inspired to do these different programs by other people, Stan Teachable, my sponsor, my therapist, you know, they wherever they led me to go, I just went. And I gained a lot from it. You know, I love this book, this literature I'm going to read, if you guys don't mind, because I love literature, and because I believe the program is in the literature, it's not me, okay? Oh, let me read Kodak, our big book. You know, I love this right here. It says, in step one, we recognize our failures in our own attempts to play God. Oh, my God. So our first question in our Coda book, right? Thank God for a sponsor. The first question, the first step says, am I controlling and how? My answer was, hell no. Hell no, I ain't controlling. It's them other people that be trying to control me. But I found out, not only do I try to control people, I allow them to control me. So let me give you an example. So when I'm earlier, I don't do that as much today. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm more aware of my thinking and my behavior because I'm practicing some spiritual principles, not perfectly, you know. Like I tell my sponsee, they be beating their ass up. I say, dude, look at a bridge. Come over here with us. It's called a human side. Take the baseball bat out of your hand and put a Q-tip. But thank God for my sponsor. My sponsor looked at me and said, you don't think you're controlling? I was serious. Hell no. It's them other people. I need to help them. They don't know what they're doing. If they just do what I say, you know, they'll stay clean. If they do what I do, they'll stay clean. Some people want to do what I do. But I'm such a perfectionist and control freak, okay? Was, past tense, okay? So my sponsor had me work out of this book, the first three steps. Melody Beattie Codependence. 12 steps. You know, it's codependent. Okay, I'm not going outside our literature a little bit. I love this in the second step. This is, now I've been recovering for a while, Codependence Anonymous, but still I love this step. On those days when I forget what I know about recovery, when my mind whirls, I love that, when shame returns, when anger, resentment, or old messages begin controlling me, that's where I fall short in my thinking. Them old messages that my parents gave me. Don't get it wrong. My parents did the best they could for what they knew. My sponsor, I love sponsors. My sponsor said, you're so selfish and self-centered. You know, I was bitching about my parents, didn't love me, didn't hug me, blah, 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 blah. And I said, what do you mean? And I got really angry at my sponsor. So you're very selfish and self-centered. You know, your parents did the best they could for what they knew. And look at you. God has blessed you with so many different 12-step programs that they didn't have. And man, I had this enlightenment. I started thinking about these stories my dad was telling me when he was abused in Texas. You know, it was hardcore way back in Texas, you know, probably all over the world, but I'm just saying Texas, and I'm not knocking Texas down. I've been there several times. But I love it. It says, when old messages begin to control me, now I'm getting controlled by my mind. So I really break this down to my sponsee. We can read a book, but do you break it down to your sponsees? You know, now my sponsees break it down to their sponsees. So what I found out, okay, let me finish this. When I forget it's okay to be who I am, then that's human. It's okay to be human. I'm gonna make some mistakes. Thank God for the 10th step. I could continue to make take personal inventory. When I'm wrong, promptly admit it. I just tell people I'm sorry and I move on. It's really that simple for me, you know. Today, it wasn't in before. When I panic or become fearful, when I start obsessing, looking for others to make me feel or make me real, I know what to do. And it gives us the solution. It says, I go back to the first step to get my bearings and remember who I am. Who am I? I'm a human being that is so powerless over people, places, and things. But I want to control you. That's still one of my, something I work on a daily basis. You know, my girlfriend, we live together, you know, sometimes I don't think she cleans up bad, you know, better than me. And I got to clean behind her ass or she overcooked this, you know? So I be telling myself, shut the F up. Really, I got to speak to myself. That's my spiritual principle for me. Be quiet. Don't say nothing. And that's been working for me. Don't clean up behind her. Praise or tell her thank you. You know, now it started to really affect me in a positive way. What I think is how I feel. How I feel is how I behave. I learned that in Codependence Anonymous. You know, so I want to read one more thing. It talks about, because we're talking about our thinking. It says, this makes sense to us because we tried many times to think ourselves into a better way of life. Oh, and it says right here, we usually had good intentions. I have some good intentions. But our day-to-day existence rarely measured up to those intentions. But it gives me the solution. Trying it the other way, practicing a better way of life, living according to spiritual principles, will eventually have an effect on my thinking. It's all in my thinking. But, you know, Codependency Anonymous is a deeply rooted, it tells us in our literature. But what I found out, denial is a disease too. You know, acronym for denial, don't even know I'm lying to myself. That's the acronym. I can lie and believe that shit. I can have, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. I can have a movie going on in my head and believe it and try to convince you. It's called believing a lie. Thank God for one of my mentors. I was just rumbling. I was just rattling on to him, and he was just listening. And he started to say, who are you trying to convince, me or you? Because you ain't doing a good job with me right about now. So I was trying to convince myself that I'm a good person. I thought good people are supposed to take care of you, take your bills. You know, I don't give advice unless off asked for. I learned that, especially my kids. Thank God for my kids. It's my recovery starting to affect them. I can see how more responsible they got. I got two daughters and a son, and I spoiled the hell out of them because of guilt and shame till I worked through that. So I had to put up some beautiful boundaries with them, had a good dinner with them, and I said, let me tell you guys something. It was all recovery related. And I said, as long as I see you guys doing what you need to do to take care of yourself, your dad is here for you. But if you're out there screwing up, I'm done. And they knew it. They felt it. Did they challenge me? Of course they did. You see what I learned about boundaries? People don't cross my boundaries. I do. You know, I could tell my kids, no, I'm not going to do it no more. No, you on and on and on. I'm not going to do it no more. And then they do it. Then they call me for money. I just told them not to. But then I give it to them. Who crossed my boundary? I did. That's what I learned about boundaries. It sounds good. It sounds real good. But what I'm learning is, you know, I get emotional sharing Codependence Anonymous because I thank God for Codependence Anonymous. I've been to so many different programs because I had different addictions. And thank God for my sponsor, Susan. She passed away. And what she taught me Well, when you dive into Codependence Anonymous, it's going to help you with all your addictions. Did I believe her? No. Because my addictions were still rampant and wild. You know, I didn't know, like I said, control was addiction. I didn't know people pleasing was a condition. You know, addiction is something I can't stop doing by myself. It's obsessive compulsive behavior. Big time. It's spiritually self-centered. And denial is the key. You know, the disease of codependency wants me to deny the truth I saw. But in recovery, I could believe what I see. That's all I got to do. I think God gave me two eyes for a reason, to believe what I see. Sometimes I see things, you know, we talked about it, right? There's an elephant in a room, and we act like it's not there, and we go under it, around it. It's there. But you know what I learned about denial? It's my comfort zone. It's a blanket. It's a shock absorber to the soul. So if I deny it, I don't have to feel. Because what I see hurt. So since I don't want to hurt, I'm a people please. I'm going to caretake. I'm going to control. And all under that, it took me, guys, 25 years to learn this about people pleasing. I just wanted to everybody to make me important. I start crying when I got off the phone. Me and my sponsee was playing about this the other day. He's on the meeting right now. And we said, you know, we like to play. Okay, you got to have fun in recovery, okay? A lot of fun. You know, I believe take the program serious, but live your life, you know? Have fun. You know, I didn't come in life to make a living. I came in life to make a life. I want to learn how to live. That's what these 12 steps taught me. You know, in our first tradition, it's all about relationships in Codependence Anonymous. Our first tradition says our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on code of unity. How can I use that? We use that in our group, keep unity in our group, okay? I get that. But how can I use that tradition in my relationships? With my girlfriend at the house, our common welfare, we do things together. There's no big old, because she's a woman. She don't like me washing clothes, but I will. I'll wash dishes, I'll cook, I'll clean. You know, what I was taught, that was the woman's responsibility. I really was taught that. And I was brought up that way. Old beliefs. So our common welfare is to do things together. What does that do? It brings unity in my household. What brings unity? Freedom, happiness, and harmony. That's how I use that first tradition in my life. Do I do it perfectly? No. And that's what I want to talk about real quick. In the 12th step, it says we had having had a spiritual awakening. As the result of these steps, we try to carry the message to codependents who still suffer, right? So there's a big difference from awakening, spiritual awakening, and a spiritual experience. So by working the 12 steps, being around, staying open-minded, staying teachable, staying humble, awakening means gradually and slowly my spirit comes back to life. Who is that spirit, that little will in me that never trusted me, that's been abused, that hides in the corner? And when I let people abuse me or control me, or I become a people pleaser or a caretaker, he runs in the corner. He said, oh, shit, here we go again. You abandoned me again. You've lost your voice. See, Codependence Anonymous taught me that I have a voice. I know a lot of us grew up at that kitchen table, and you better not say nothing but pass the salt and pass the pepper, please. I know, you know, let me speak on I state. I know on my kitchen table, that's how my dad ran his house. So what I have to do today is, no matter how it hurts other people's feelings, because what I was taught, I'm not responsible for your feelings. I'm responsible for myself. What I was, like my my son had issues, you know, and I had to tell him, partner, it ain't my problem, ain't none of my business, it ain't my job to fix it. I didn't cause it, I didn't cure it, and I can't control it. He said, that's hardcore, Dad. He said, but that's some true shit. He said, maybe I'll go get my own help. I said, there you go. I said, what would you do if I were dead? You know, so, and I want to leave you with this. What did I mean? Oh, spiritual principles, spiritual awakening, and spiritual experience. I have a lot of spiritual experiences today by working with people. All of us, spiritual experiences, all of a sudden. Awakening is gradual and slow. All of a sudden, I'll get this awareness from my sponsees, my grand sponsees, this voice I hear. One time I heard this voice, I had to run downstairs, and it said, you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. It's within you. I ran downstairs to write that down. So I love journaling. I love the steps. So how do I get spiritual experiences? It's just all of a sudden a thought of positivity. It's all not all the negative stuff that runs through my mind. All of a sudden, my sponsor will say something. I say, oh, man. All of a sudden, I'll read something. All of a sudden, I don't behave like I used to. All of a sudden, I don't think like I used to. I still have them thoughts. Don't get it wrong, people. I'm just more aware of them, and I don't act on them as much. Now, I damn near acted on one 2 weeks ago at the drive-in Starbucks. I was ready to cuss this damn lady out, okay? See, I'm not perfect. My sponsors love me because I always tell them my horror stories in recovery. But anyway, I love you guys. Thank you for letting me share. One profound thing I want to say is I've learned not only did my disease affect me, it affected my kids. So what I learned that's so cherishing to me, and I hug myself, I hug little Will, okay? I broke the cycle. I bitched and moaned that my mom and dad never loved, hugged me. They didn't, or tell them, they never gave me that emotional. But I started giving it to my kids after I learned that. Now I get to see all my kids give it to their kids. It's not a day that my kids or my grandkids, you know, before this meeting, one of my granddaughters called me, that they always say, Papi, I love you. Papi, see, I didn't get that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you. Will.
Thank you, Will.
Yes. Hi, Naomi.
Thanks.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Lisa. Yeah.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't leave, Will.
No, I'm not.
Will.
You are a blessing.